And we have regular Canadian contributors on the Business Breakfast. Jean-Paul Pigat and Ed Bell from Emirates NBD, Craig Plum of JLL, and Lorne Riley of Dubai Airport spring to mind. But we rarely talk about the country itself. And we're pleased to rectify that now by welcoming to the studio His Excellency Emmanuel Kamarianakis, the Consul General of Canada, based here in Dubai. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks very much indeed for coming in. And I was surprised to discover that there are as many as 40 to 45,000 Canadians residing and working in the UAE. Where are they? I mean, what's the Dubai-Abu Dhabi split, and which industries are they in?
Well, the split is mostly in favor of Dubai, I'd say. The majority would be here in Dubai. We don't have exact figures. We estimate about over 40,000 overall. They're sprinkled throughout the system, working in government, working in the private sector, working as nurses and teachers, doctors, right across the system. And working at Emirates Airlines and other great companies here. So all across the system.
I mean, there are some very well-known Canadian enterprises here. Thomson Reuters, Tim Horton, Tim's, BlackBerry, Bombardier, Four Seasons Hotels, Lululemon, RBC, Aldo, etc. How important financially is that presence to Canada?
It's a fundamental importance to us. We use Dubai very much as a platform for business across the MENA region, into South Asia, into Africa increasingly. So a lot of our companies are using Dubai as a bit of a trampoline, I'd say, to kind of do business across the region. Also, to do quite good business here in the UAE. It's a great market for us, our largest market in the MENA region, over $2 billion of exports last year, so a great place for Canadian companies to do business. And I would just say there are not a lot of cities in the world where we have this kind of a strong Canadian corporate presence.
So $2 million, that's the value to Canada, is it?
$2 billion Canadian dollar exports to the UAE. Yeah.
And what's the reverse side of it?
It's a bit smaller. It's about $150 million, still a pretty good market for the UAE. But the interesting thing is that I think trade's one thing, which is wonderful, of course, great numbers there, but the investment figures are also very impressive. A little bit harder to track. Stock FDI is a bit hard to track, of course. But our internal estimates are there's a significant amount of UAE investment in Canada. And I would say also very healthy Canadian investment in the UAE as well.
I was in Canada just a couple of weeks ago. Great. Spent my summer vacation there visiting family. A beautiful country, particularly loved Banff National Park. I mean, that is quite a special place. But it's a country-facing challenges. I was in Edmonton, which is oil country, and Alberta, and they're really suffering with the low oil price at the moment. I'm going to play you a clip, a very short clip of a TV report that I heard when I was over there, and it's about, everyone's talking about EI, employment insurance, that people are getting at the moment, because so many oil workers have lost their jobs. This is from Global News.
The line says it all. 1,000 people expected for about 100 jobs. Maybe today is the day they'll get an offer. Gilroy Mosqueda is running out of time. Laid off from his oil patch job over a year ago, and his last employment insurance check arrives in days.
I have a house, I got a mortgage to pay, and I don't know how I'm going to manage it.
Laura Lee Lindstein was laid off from an oil company last October.
It will help for sure, but it's definitely not, people don't want to be on EI forever.
So that's Canadians talking about EI, employment insurance, which they're getting for a few weeks, but it doesn't go on forever. Reading this morning Financial Post headline, Canada's economy growing at the slowest pace in 60 years. Just how tough is it in Canada at the moment?
Listen, I think that we're unique amongst industrialized developed economies for depending on the primary sector so much. We have a significant amount of our economic output that comes from energy, that comes from forestry, from commodities. So the global commodity downturn has impacted us. All that said, we still operate an economy that is relatively robust, relatively diversified. I think the price of oil has had an impact, but things appear to be moving in the right direction. Alberta is turning around. I was just there this summer as well. I spent my holidays as well in Calgary and Alberta this summer, and things are beginning to pick up. It is tough, but my expectation is that the significant investments that have already been made, we're producing about 3.2, 3.3 million barrels a day of oil right now. We're going to be ramping up to over 4 million probably within the next 5 to 7 years. It means that there will be continued to be investment and continued job growth in the Canadian economy.
I mean, that Calgary area, obviously, it's oil, it's tar sands, it's a whole bunch of stuff to do with oil. And how badly has the American resistance, if you like, to approve the XL pipeline down to the sort of southern bits of the states, how much has that put a dampener on the attitude and feeling?
As I mentioned, we're expecting a significant amount of growth in our oil production over the next few years. And this is money that's already been invested. The capital expenditure has been done. We're expecting a big ramp up. Our challenge now is pipeline capacity to get the product out, because as we see the Americans moving towards greater oil self-sufficiency, energy self-sufficiency, we need access to other markets, which means that we need access to pipelines going either east-west, either to the ports on the west coast of Canada to hit Asian markets, on the east coast to hit European markets, or Keystone is a pipeline that potentially would hit refining capacity primarily in Galveston, Texas, and bring that export pipeline out to other markets around the world. So we are not only staking all of our eggs in the basket of Keystone, but there's other pipeline projects in the pipeline as well.
Let's talk about the next phase of Canada's relationship with the UAE. Malcolm talked about some of the companies that are selling their products here, from Aldo Shoes to Thomson Reuters, who Malcolm and I have both worked for here in Dubai. And typically, the first stage of that relationship is an export relationship. You sell stuff, and that's fine. The next stage, if it happens, is to actually invest in a sort of factory or some kind of research and development, more substantive, value-added investment. To what extent are we seeing that in the pipeline?
I'd give you two great examples. One is a fundamental relationship being formed between ICD, Investment Corporation of Dubai, and Brookfield Asset Management. There's a major tower going up in the DIFC, ICD Brookfield Place, which is, again, the exact figures are not clear, but about $1 billion, let's say, of joint 50-50 investment. And that's a real vote of confidence in the Dubai economy by a major Canadian property developer, the company behind Canary Wharf and big pieces of New York. The other example I'd give is that we, our export credit agency called EDC, Export Development Canada, doesn't just provide export credits, it also finances projects. They're a major investor in EGA, Emirates Group Aluminum, and in a Dubal plant, significant amounts of investment, and another vote of confidence in the UAE economy, in the Dubai economy from Canada. So that's a very positive thing. On the inverse side, DP World, a major global company, has had significant investments in Canada over the last few decades, and this past year made two significant purchases. One was an acquisition of a major container terminal in Prince Rupert, British Columbia for about $700 million. And they just recently put a lease together for a container terminal in St. John, New Brunswick as well.
Well, the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, is starting a trip to China this week. He's going to tour the Great Wall, of course. He's going to shoot some hoops with the retired basketball star Yao Ming and generally sort of present a friendly Canadian face. But there's some serious business going on between Canada and China at the moment. Mr. Trudeau is going to meet President Xi Jinping, and almost at the top of the agenda for the Canadian side is going to be the issue of Chinese restrictions of imports of Canadian oilseed sales worth about $2 billion. So sort of the value of the trade with this part of the world and growing. That's just for the oilseeds. Although the Middle East is actually a good market for Canada, I guess that a thriving relationship with China must be, like for most countries in the world, the absolute first prize.
It is. It's a huge priority for us. We have a significant market share, I would say, in certain sectors of the Chinese economy, commodities being a big one. Oilseeds is a good example. We are an extremely large producer of certain commodities, pulses, oilseeds, energy, and others. And so China is a very large market for us. We have had, I think, a significant amount of priority attached to growing that market. And this upcoming visit by our Prime Minister is just a continuation of this policy of engaging and growing our market share, not just in China, but across the entire Asian region.
Well, if he lives up to expectations, he will charm them as he's charmed just about everybody else since he took office. Thank you very much indeed for coming in to talk to us. It's been a real pleasure. Your Excellency Emmanuel Kamarianakis, the Consul General of Canada. We look forward to welcoming you back to the studio in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.